It's been grace till here. It's been grace today. It'll be grace the rest of the way. It's always been grace. It was grace, John said, that taught my heart to fear. Ain't it amazing that the same grace that we can talk about being so wonderful and comforting and assuring is still the grace of God that leadeth us to repentance. The Bible said that Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You say, why'd he do that? Because Genesis said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the same grace that moved him with fear to prepare the ark was the same grace that kept him till the storm was over. And the same grace that put my heart in conviction showed me that I was a sinner. It's the same grace that brought me through, birthed me in the family of God. I'm glad for God's amazing grace. Mankind has studied. They've lengthened the dictionary with many words that I don't even know how to pronounce. But still yet, there's never been a greater word to describe the grace of God than that it's amazing. Amazing. How he could take a hell-deserving sinner and by grace, through faith, make them a child of God. How he could change all of our want-tos and wishes and make them his wants and wishes. The Bible said that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. But we need not stop reading there. The very next verse uses that same word all again. All things have become new, and all things are of God. So he puts the all of him inside of us. How could it be that the very God of heaven would care about somebody like me, somebody like you? There is no other word but grace. There's no word to describe it. How can you tell somebody about grace? And the only reason that you're understanding what I'm saying tonight is that you've been a recipient of it. And if you've not, you don't understand. And there's no words that I can stand and tell you about the amazing grace of God. It's impossible to tell anybody about the grace of God. I can tell you what the Bible says. I can tell you what I've experienced, but to define and exhaust the explanation of the grace of God is an impossibility. It can't be done. I thought maybe I'd read some tonight, but I don't know. I thought about these verses and this story here. If you go back in Genesis 45, we're reading about where Joseph sends from Egypt to go get his daddy, Jacob, and bring him to Egypt. And I thought today, and I'm just going to mind the Lord if that's all right. I thought today all the things that Jacob has experienced in his life. He's went from low to extremely high. He's seen a time that he had to run for his life. But he's seen a time when he met God face to face. He's seen a time when his brother hated him. And he was afraid to meet him again. Because he was a traitor and a trickster. And stole his brother's birthright. And yet seen a time that the angel of the Lord, which Anytime in the Old Testament you read about the angel of the Lord, it's the Lord Himself. Touched Jacob, and he never walked the same again. Took away all of that past. See, that's a good type and picture of salvation and what happens to us. That word Jacob means deceiver. And so every time his name was called, everybody remembered what Jacob had done. But the Lord said, you'll not be Jacob anymore, but you'll be Israel, a prince with God.
Right.
What a difference. What a difference it makes to meet the Lord. I'm not talking about just to have an experience in the house of God or be baptized into the church or make a profession or have a trip to the altar. I had plenty of them. But oh, what a difference when you meet the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
When you have a head-on collision, you can fight against it all you want to. That's what Jacob did. He wrestled with him till the breaking of the day. And then God touched him. And the hollowness of his thigh was out of joy. And he didn't have any strength or any power to fight against it anymore. All he could do was throw himself on him and say, please don't go until you bless me. I don't know how it was with you. I know how it was with me. There was a resistance against the things of God. I didn't want to admit who I was and what I was. I didn't want to do what he said I had to do. But I'm glad for that blessed night that he touched me and took all my wants and all my wishes and all my power. And I couldn't fight against it anymore. I just had to throw myself on his mercy and say, whatever you want to do, whatever I have to do, just bless me before you leave. Changed Jacob forever. He walked different the rest of his life. Bible said when the sun rose, Jacob hauled it upon his thigh. It made such a difference in Jacob's life, it changed generations to come. You say, you don't have no Bible for that. I do. Said the children of Israel don't even eat the meat on that portion of the thigh because of what happened to Jacob on that day. Have you ever had an experience like that? You ever had a head-on collision with God? Where you walked away different than you walked in? I'm not asking how much Bible you know. Not asking how many trips you've made to the altar. Not asking how many tears you've cried. Now I understand all of that may play in, but all that don't matter. I'm asking, do you know God? Have you had an experience that changed your life? And now, many years later, a lot of things have changed in Jacob's life. All the highlights we could talk about. The day at Bethel when he raised the pillar and said, surely God's in this place. And I didn't even know it. The day at Mahanaim where he met the heavenly host of God. The day when he stayed behind and planned and schemed and said, I'll send a present to Esau when his brothers, when his servants came and said, your brother's on his way and many mighty men with him. Jacob said, I'm going to die. But God had different plans. Every day in his life when every one of his 12 sons were born, that would become the leaders of the tribes of the nation of Israel. Great days in Jacob's life. And I feel like tonight I'm talking to two classes of people. There's some of you that's never had that experience, that penile experience. That word panal means I've seen God face to face. There's some of you here tonight that's never had that experience where you've met the Lord. Not where you've talked to the preacher or shook his hand or joined the church, but you have never personally met the Lord. You can have it. He's still available. But then there are some of you that have had that experience, but many years have come and gone. And now, if we read, if we took the time, and I don't think I even need to read tonight, you may think that's awkward, but that's, I'm just trying to follow God. If you go home and read Genesis 45, you'll find out the story's changed very much in Jacob's life. Now he's living in a famine. And so are we. Amos 8 and 11 is coming true every day of our Christian life. When he said there will come a day that there will be a famine. Not a thirst for water or a hunger for bread, but a famine of hearing of the words of the Lord. We're there. Not only is Jacob in a famine, but his family's in a mess. His children, unbeknownst to him, have conspired and sold their youngest brother at the time into slavery. Come back with a bloody coat, lied to their father, said Joseph's dead. Jacob's lived that way, believing that lie, for many years. Nearly 20 years. Joseph was 10 years old when he told his father his first dream and his brothers hated him. Now he's 30 years old when he becomes prime minister of the land of Egypt. 20 years. My, what's changed? His future looks uncertain. He looks around at his sons and says, "Why look ye one upon another? If we don't get something, we're going to die." I feel like in our churches we're just sitting around looking at one another. And we can go get something, or we're going to die. But his brothers, Joseph's brothers, Jacob's sons, go to Egypt to buy some corn. And they meet this man that they don't know anything about. So they think. And the story goes, we all know the story. They buy the corn. He puts the money back in the sack. They get back, open the sack up, there's the money. They think, we can never go back. They'll think we're thieves. But they have to go back. They need more corn. Then, of course, more things happen. Joseph says, if you want more corn, you're going to have to bring the youngest with you. Jacob says, you can't take him. I've lost Joseph, now I'm going to lose Benjamin. But all in the course of events, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. He said, I want to see my daddy. He said, I want to change the way he's been living for 20 years. He said, go get him. He said, I'll even send the wagon to bring him home. Joseph's brothers come to Jacob. And they say, Daddy, Joseph's alive. And the Bible said his heart fainted. He believed them not. I wonder how many of us tonight really believe that God's alive and well. and able to do what He's always been able to. We don't have the trouble believing He's alive, but do we have trouble believing He can? He won't believe. But the Bible said before Joseph ever lets them go, he lays up some donkeys with the fine things of Egypt. And he said, don't just take the stuff. All that's good and wonderful and it'll help Daddy. But he said, take a wagon to bring him back. And the Bible said when Jacob saw the wagon, his spirit revived. Now I want to ask you a question tonight, and I'm done. Have you seen the wagons lately? How long has it been since you took a good, long look at the undeniable evidence that God's been good to you? How long has it been since you took inventory of your life and realized what she sang tonight? Safely this far, Jesus has brought me. And there's no need to doubt Him now. You may be in a famine. Your family may be in a mess. Your future may look uncertain. You may can't figure out what's going on. I'm going to tell you what will cure it all. One good look at the wagon. It did everything for Jacob. It brought refreshing because he wasn't going to have to be hungry anymore. You realize you don't have to go around hungry all the time. God has enough for you. He didn't have to be, his family wasn't in a mess anymore. Now there was restoration. God's still in that business, you know. He's still in the business of putting pieces all back together again. It may look like it's shattered into so many it'll never go back together. Oh, but the one that made it, he knows exactly how to put it back together. He can send revival. That's what happened to Jacob on this day. He got revival. His heart had fainted. But he took one look at the wagon. And the Bible said his spirit revived. Amen. And he said, it's enough. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to know tonight, you have enough. Amen. Yes. I'm not talking about the house you live in or the car you drive or the money in the bank account. I'm talking about what God's done inside of you. If you could just get a good long look at it again and realize it's enough. It's enough. When's the last time you saw the wagons? As we stand all over the house tonight, I'm done. I feel at perfect peace in my soul that I've done exactly what God told me to do. Now it's up to you. Maybe the Lord has come by where you are and opened your eyes and let you see again just how good He is. And maybe, just maybe, you need to find a place to thank Him for how good He is. Wouldn't hurt any one of us to slip out of our seat if God has spoke to you and come find a place to bow and say, Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for the wagons in my life.